This week on Retronauts, we're gonna need a bigger podcast. Salsa Shark, etc. Hey, everybody. I'm Bob Mackey. I'm your host for today's episode of Retronauts Pocket. And if you were here last week, you should know who our guests are. But let me introduce them first, and then I'll introduce our regular Retronauts. So who are you guys?
Brett Elston, a Capcom community duder, and also do stuff on VGEmpire.com game music podcast.
And I'm Chris Antista, also of Capcom, but also Laser Time, Cheap Popcast, Cape Crisis, the comic book show. Check me out, internet.
Cool. And who else is here? As always,
Ray Barnholtz.
And Jeremy is missing in Japan. If you're listening, Jeremy, we miss you. We want you to come home.
Mad jealous, too.
In the sweatbox that is Japan during TGS.
Oh, God.
We're in the sweatbox that is the Retronauts Vault.
That's true.
I'd never been before last year, and I'm dying to go back.
I still need to go.
It's pretty fun.
So today's episode is all about two games, Jaws and Friday the 13th for the NES. Both
what a tag team.
Both released by LJN, which stands for Lewis J. Norman Heating and Plumbing.
We also released
Nintendo games, apparently. Yeah.
Come back after five.
Lewis J. Norman, attorney at law, developer.
I hear that kind of voice when I hear Lewis J. Norman. But
Lewis J.
This episode is actually a fan-backed episode, and it comes to us from David Schuff, and he says, I'm looking forward to hearing the music tracks. He actually chose Jaws, but I don't think Jaws was enough to sustain an entire episode, so we're also going to do Friday the 13th for the NES. Jaws is extremely basic. We'll get to that in a second. But David says, I'm looking forward to hearing the music tracks. For it as your interludes, one aspect of the game that I think is unquestionably good, and he's talking about Jaws, by the way, and that sound/music sting when you hit an encounter from the world map classic. I feel like it's one of those games that's best quality is how evocative it is of what it might have been if it was a better game, if that makes any sense. He also goes on to say, I love, too, how it's a total departure from the movies in every sense except for the final FPBS, first-person boat shooter scene, where if you hadn't seen the movie, you'd have no idea that a strobe would cause Jaws to jump out of the water, or know that the goal is to ram Jaws with the prow. Maybe it was in the manual, though? And he wants to bring up a great comment from YouTube before he goes, and he says, this comment from YouTube, not from David, the comment from YouTube says, my favorite parts in Jaws was when Roy Scheider transformed from boat form to human form to collect shells and kill passing crabs, jellyfish, and stingrays with his spear gun to pass time until Jaws appears. And that's basically what Jaws is about. I just want to do a little introduction here as to what the hell, what is LJN? Well, I'll tell you, that's Lewis J. Norman Heating and Plumbing. We also make games, and we'll represent you if you get hurt on the job.
Thank you. Esquire.
And it's part of the Power Play series. LJN had these weird like branding, and strangely enough, across the top of every LJN game, it says interactive entertainment. What the fuck does that mean?
With an E. With an E. Interactive.
It's made by Ents in Mordor.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Gotcha.
LJN should know better.
Can we take that apart? Does that mean like it's not interactive? You're going to enter the game because it's like, is that as simple as
it is? I guess
it's
like your step because it's all licensing. So I guess they think you're going to enter the world.
I see.
Oh,
I see.
Of Jaws.
It's a really good tagline for a door manufacturer.
Thank you.
We
need to dig up some old LJN press releases or something.
Yeah, they do.
Something to explain this.
Man, I found that old file, the Taito one from like the 80s, and it just says, say yo, say rap, say Taito. All exclamation points.
Sonic Blast, man.
Say rap? What is it? It's for Operation Wolf. Why would I do that?
I don't know anyone who just would say rap
say
out of
rap.
Nowhere.
Hey, rap. Say rap.
Oh, I feel better.
It's
I feel cooler.
Those are the whitest marketing people in the universe.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's big right now? Rap.
Hey,
put it in a press release. I'm going on break.
So along with being interactive entertainment, this game is also branded strangely as part of the Power Play series, which includes Back to the Future, which is just a wretched, horrible game for the NES.
Right. Did LJN make any good games?
They
did TNC Surf Design? That wasn't them.
I think it might have been them.
But
okay, that's their best game.
We should preface this by saying that LJN actually didn't develop anything. Everything was outsourced.
Yes.
A lot of the time to Japanese developers, and we'll get into who made Jaws in a second.
Well, was this not really a claim?
What's that?
Was this not a claim? Really?
Jaws wasn't a claim?
I mean, LJN.
What about them?
Didn't they buy them?
Wait, no. Acclaim bought LJN. Right. Yeah, in 1995.
I never thought about how similar their logos look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's that great X-Men game.
Right.
Oh, God.
So we're going to start with Jaws. It's actually developed by, is it West One or West Stone?
I prefer West Stone.
West Stone. So do I. And if you guys don't know who that is, they made the Wonder Boy. Monster World series. So that's the pedigree of people working on this game, if you want any idea. And
Am I missing out on a lot of the Wonder Boy series?
They are great. Yes.
Wonder Boy Monster World is on XBLA, and just go grab it.
I played
really
a couple
good.
Of just I don't know why they never grabbed me.
They take a little time to sort of get their hooks into you once you realize what they're about, I think. But
Monster World 4. It's like a top-tier Genesis game, basically.
Definitely. So this is me speaking. I played this game a lot as a kid because my stepdad had it. Hi, I'm Bob. It's me. The best I can say about it is that it's pretty simple. It's fairly solid, if a little bland. Basically, it's a weird like RPG in its own way, where random encounters are these kind of shmup sections where the entire game is steering a boat from port to port until you get enough upgrades to kill Jaws. And technically, you can kill Jaws from the very beginning, but it takes forever because all you're doing is you're leveling up one stat, and that's your attack stat. I don't know if leveling up your power also makes you swim faster or not, Ray. Do you know?
No.
Okay. But imagine an RPG with two towns, no dialogue, no NPCs, random encounters, one boss, and that's Jaws.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't think it plays that bad. I think its biggest flaw is that it's very, very simple. But I found it extremely playable. Like, I finished it in 20 minutes and had a good time last night. Sorry, guys. Go on, talk about Jaws.
It really is. Like, I remember renting, because I was a lad for whatever reason to watch any movie as a kid. Like, I saw RoboCop 2 in the theaters with my parents.
I did too. I love that.
And so Jaws, very early on, I was like, I love sharks. These Jaws movies are so great. And then saw this game, rented it. And then, that same feeling of like, this is weirdly good, yet really crappy at the same time. It's this amazing, balance beam of it suggests they almost made an amazing game, but then kind of like ran out of time. And that's good enough. Yeah. Like, it seems like all they made was like level one.
Exactly. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And in terms of a story, if you can give it that, it feels like it's taking place at the climax of a longer story. It's just like the Jaws encounter
Does
is coming.
Have anything to do with one of the later Jaws movies, though?
I was going
to
ask that. Like, what
it
Jaws
seems,
movie is this based
seems
on?
More based, it seems more based on the revenge because the strobe thing is the revenge.
Is that the Michael
Caine
movie?
I think so.
I think you're right.
Movie is awful.
And the conch really shells have something to do with one of the movies too, if I remember correctly.
I can't remember.
Because that is your
that's Jaws the animated series. That was like a cell phone then.
I guess this is Jaws All Stars.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Jaws Unleashed, the PS2 game.
So good.
We did more coverage of that at Radar than anyone on the planet. it's maybe the best. Maybe one of the, best,
the best
secret
Jaws.
Games of all time. It's just absolutely bonkers. Everything about it is just. The idea that a shark
is—you're playing as Jaws.
Yeah, they realize people want to be Jaws.
Yeah, you want to be Jaws, but it's like the shark is aware of a mayor who's trying to like run the city into the ground, and like you're a shark.
Yes.
You have no concerns other than eat.
I'm a shark. Shoot flaming barrels from your mouth at the scientists.
Well, I mean, in Jaws: The Revenge, it's like, why didn't the Brody family just move to a landlocked state? You know,
The idea that it's like a relative of the sharks from the prior movies are now on a blood feud with the
maybe I'll use it to bridge. I had the good fortune when my first moment in San Francisco, we go to Midnights for Maniacs. We haven't been in a while. We should go again.
Well, we're running out of movies.
That's where they do triple features.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I got to see my first week here where I knew I loved the city and I'd stay forever, Jaws. It was a 3D movie night, which ended with Space Hunter, a movie I've never heard of, but in between that was Friday the 13th, Part 3. And Jaws 3D.
Were they both in 3D?
I've never been able to see those in 3D. I've seen Friday the 13th 3 a ton of times. The opening never made sense to me. Why are these long, lingering shots and a lady pinning up clothes running a pool cue?
Even the logo, when the Friday the 13th 3 logo shoots up, it's like this rave dance tune of like...
It makes all the sense in the world in 3D and looks really cool. Right. Jaws, especially, because I was only saying that because that movie is way stupider.
It is much stupider.
That is Jaws breaking into a SeaWorld park. And terrorizing a SeaWorld park where he should be the most easy thing to find in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Like,
he's in one of the water tanks? I don't
know. He could be in any one of the seven giant things big enough for a great whale.
There's no telling.
Everybody, don't leave.
The Jaws game is pretty dull, like I was saying. It feels like the Ghostbusters NES game and the Ghostbusters game that was out for everything, in which the entire point of the game is to build yourself up for this final encounter against one boss.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in Jaws, it's like, he can kind of attack you at any time. You see his fin.
Fin is awesome.
Fin is cool, yeah.
Also, that's another, speaking to the comment earlier, just talking about the mood that it does set, that music, that overworld kind of equivalent of overworld music. It's very spooky and weird and how it'll fade layers of it in and out based on like your proximity to certain things, but then also that heartbeat sensor or whatever that'll go off.
Yeah, that
like,
eventually unlock or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like this sense of like Jaws is getting near you. It's a very aliens like pulse radar kind of noise, and you're like, wow, this is weirdly cool for such a straightforward game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at least this is how I thought. When you actually see Jaws, he's not that intimidating because he just kind of slowly like moves in like 45 degree angles, and you just kind of have to get out of his way. Like he can't just like turn around and try to bite you.
And then like it's like there's no. There's only so much you can do because, yes, you get an upgrade that lets you basically shoot cannonballs at him.
Yeah.
But all he does is touch the boat once, and boom, you're a person.
Yeah, you can hit him like three times with a cannonball.
And it's like, and, just watching with the turbo controller, just like, nothing.
I always wondered, like, are you really hitting that hard of a sprite limit? Could you just not keep the boat or something, or redraw it and put a little hole in it?
Like, could I get hit, like, more than once? The sharks? I know the shark's the size of the boat, but come on.
As with everything in this game, it feels like it's just an underdeveloped idea. There's, like, two different kinds of enemies, maybe three if you count baby Jaws, and it doesn't really connect with, like, why are you, like, when you get into random encounters, right,
don't ask why.
Okay. I'm going to be asking that a lot, unfortunately, because when you get into random encounters, it's just, like, you hit something, and it's just, like, I might as well just kill everything in the ocean that's under me and get some shells,
which
is the
call of the white man, I believe.
There's this game. There's this arcade game where it's a game where you just have a harpoon. It's like a shooting game. It's like basically you just
Jungle King. Jungle King just has like, a good shark area.
Think of like Jumbo Safari, but it's underwater. But you have like no reason to kill everything. You just do because you're in a video game. That's what this feels like. I mean, and then the bonus level just like fuck jellyfish, and then just like you dive bomb jellyfish back and forth.
Oh, I forgot about that. Where you're in the plane, and it's like, where'd this plane come from? Can I have this plane?
This plane would be very useful in fighting Jaws.
You know? Oh, that is the tie with the Revenge. Because that's the only one.
Michael
with the plane.
Caine. Michael Caine's plane.
In the plane.
Well, and the ramming. Well, I guess they did it in the first one too. But that's the best thing about Jaws 4 is one. There's two things. At the end, when they're using the sonar thing and like electrocuting him, he is making Hanna-Barbera dragon noises.
Yeah, he's like roaring.
and then when they explode him, they reuse the footage from Jaws 1. After the smile, you son of a bitch, they use the same shot of this meat thing falling to the ground, bleeding everywhere.
And then one of the only main characters to have died in the movie just pops out, I'm okay, man. It's Mario Van Peebles in a full reggae wig and using a Jamaican accent. Uh-huh.
Man,
the movie. I'm okay. I wanted to ask, how many people actually bought Jaws?
I did
NES game.
I did get it at some point. I don't know
I got. I mean, I think we got it. I got it when I was an adult and paid like $5 for it. It wasn't one of those. It was a quintessential rental that would be rented by my friends and I all the time.
Well, I can tell you, my stepdad bought it new because it was one of the games that I sort of inherited when he and my mom got married. I got all those NES games, and Jaws was one of them.
So
I assume he got it new because I don't understand. You know.
Yeah.
Where else it would come from.
I just don't... Like, I hadn't seen Jaws, the movie, when I played it.
Yeah.
At that point.
But, neither had I,
And we loved it. Some of these aspects that you're talking about, like, I have to, like, oh, yeah, I forgot that there's an actual game to it, because it was before, like, swim around, we're going to find Jaws. We're not going to power ourselves up.
Yeah, we don't know the rules, but...
Because the game wasn't... We didn't feel anything one way or another until, like, oh, my God, it's... Oh, shit, it's 5 minutes in. There's Jaws.
Yeah. He's there immediately. Yeah.
And you're careful.
Well, that's kind of a good segue to Friday the 13th, I guess.
Right.
Because Jason has that same omnipresent, like...
Right. It's like this thing always stalking you. And before I move on, Brad, one more thing. It's like the boss... Did you guys get to the boss fight with Jaws? The whole ship thing?
You have to, like, steer clumsily this thing.
Right. The thing is, like, Jaws' fin and the prow of your ship is the exact same sprite, just colored a different color. So it's sort of visually indicating, like, line these things up.
Right.
But the thing is, it's like, if you line them up completely perfectly, your shot will miss. You have to make sure Jaws' fin is just a little bit above your prow.
That's great.
So it's misleading. It took me like 20 tries last night to figure it out, and I had save states, you know?
Right, and even then you're like, what?
Yeah, and if you screw that up, you have to deplete all of Jaws' health again in order to get to that scene. So yeah. Anything else with Jaws before I move on to Friday the 13th? I mean, the thing is, like I said, it's not as bad as I kind of... the reputation it has. Like, it's really simple. It's a little too simple. It shouldn't be as simple as it is for a game from 1987 for the NES, but when you beat it, you get this awesome like splash screen that's like the end, and it's like Hotline Miami style colors and just this weird 80s postcard.
Right,
it's great. I put that on my Facebook last night. People were like, are you gonna kill yourself? I was like, what?
Well, I did an article like back in Radar days, like one of my first things I did, where I'm like, I love the splash graphics of NES games at the end, so I'm like, I'm just gonna have an article called like NES sunsets and just grab a bunch of these and put them in there.
And to this day,
and it was the first article I ever put on the internet where either Gaff or GameFAQs or somebody tore me a new asshole because like
technically, some of these are sunrises, and also, furthermore, that's not a sun, that's a second moon, and I'm just like, thank you for missing the joy of everything.
Was it the Godzilla ending?
Well, yeah, they're looking at Earth in this one. That, and I never liked it, because how do they breathe in space?
I hope you got fired for that.
And I'm just like, I know, I'm sorry, I tried to bring joy into anyone's life.
You pointed that out, and I cannot believe how many games continue to end with sunrises and sunsets. Characters walking into them, all that. Think about it now.
You might say it's a trope.
Yes, a constant one, though. When that happens every time, I think all the Uncharted games may close. I've never played one. But sunsets.
It's an odd, I guess it's appropriate because you guys are here, but Simpsons episodes, like throughout season 7 and 8, or like season 7, a ton of episodes ended with a sunset or ended at night. Like it went from day to night. It's weird. So let's move on. So we are moving on to a game that doesn't have a splash screen when you beat it. It doesn't really offer you anything. It's Friday the 13th. Oh boy, Brett, you're telling me you played this last night?
I bothered to fire it up last night knowing that we were going to be talking about it. And it is one of these games where, like, I remember renting it back in the day, and two things sprung to mind. One, the box art, which is this, like, Jason in a hypercolor.
Yeah, like a rainbow of...
I love this about our gigs, that occasionally we get to live forever on the Wikipedia pages of certain things. So
Michael Raparez is
on the wiki for criticizing the box art, commenting that only LGN would ever think to surround Jason Voorhees with neon pastel vomit and thereby making him look even more like an 80s relic than he already is.
I am immortalized on the Bart Simpson's Escape from Camp Deadly page on Wikipedia. So
King Hippo.
That's for my ancestors, too.
I'm in something. I mean, something really bizarre.
It perishes in like
every Nintendo game.
Let's say fucking everything. He is put on everything.
It's weird. I think I'm in Mega Man 9. At one point, I was on the Mega Man 9 page, one as a journalist and then again as Capcom. It's like separated by like 5 years.
I almost had except my write up on the announcement of DuckTales. Is every single blog who wrote about my write-up. They are cited.
Right.
And is there anybody at Wikipedia I could call?
Yeah. But I do remember, like, the Friday the 13th reminded me, like, of that whole era of, this is a bunch of rated R game. Movies based on rated R movies aimed at kids. Yeah. So, like, RoboCop, Nightmare on Elm Street, Jaws, this.
Yeah. That's a good point.
ESRB, no safeguards whatsoever. And then the games themselves are actually so either bad or obtuse.
Yeah.
Or just confusing. They're
totally innocuous.
No one will ever do anything evil in these games because you can't even figure out what you're supposed to do.
Is that maybe what Friday the 13th presents itself like this? So as not to
I'm sure it was just we have a game concept. We have a brand.
I tried it last night. Little tipsy. It's like light a fire. Huh? Okay, there's an A and B button. All right. And then a children button started blinking.
Yeah, that means Jason. So that is one of the cool aspects.
I get it.
It's Camp Crystal Lake, and there's a map of this overworld and all these cabins, and you're supposed to go light fires. Turns out you don't actually have to do that, even though the game tells you explicitly, please light the fires. You do not have to do that.
Find a lighter and
the
then
point of the game is it's this 3-day cycle, and every day Jason gets stronger, but you have to fight him and beat him each time, and he just gets stupidly strong.
Yeah, and everything else gets harder, too, on the overworld.
And also only one of the characters, Mark, I think, of all the counselors, is any good.
Right.
The rest of them are slow and crappy.
I did want to point out one thing. It's like, all the characters have different strengths and weaknesses. The game doesn't tell you what they are.
No,
instruction manual doesn't tell you what they are. It's like, you figure it out, kid.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, but but what is cool about it is there is this sense of Jason is stalking everyone.
Right.
Because when you see that children meter go on, it means one of the kids or other counselors is being attacked in one of the buildings, and you look on the map, oh, that one's glowing. I'm going to use this very complicated map system to get myself there. But then when you do, you have this actual sense, especially when you go in a house, and it does this first person almost like Doom, like Swords and Serpents or Phantasy Star 1. Not Phantasy Star. Shining Force.
Shining Force. Shining in the Darkness, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Yeah, Shining in the Darkness. That kind of thing where you're inside and it's like, and then you turn on the corner, oh my god, it's Jason.
Yeah. Right.
There had that element of creepiness, but then when you finally beat it, Jason just looks like this dumpy dude in a tracksuit.
Yeah,
he has a gut.
It's pretty silly, the picture that you see like of defeated Jason.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's all askew.
It is very sad. It's kind of like a lion who trips and falls and breaks his leg and is left there to die. I don't respect you anymore. I'm not even afraid of you.
Yeah, like I feel like this is one of the few NES games to focus on horror, like you were saying, Brett. And it's weird that Nintendo would allow this, but I feel like the Friday the 13th franchise was so powerful and so popular that it would make them a lot of money.
Probably.
And they're willing to overlook things if they would make, if, you know, Nintendo money, I think.
My parents wouldn't take me to see these movies, but it was very much on the lips of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These in the Nightmare on Elm Streets were...
Junior high, I got...
Just as big as Ninja Turtles, except the access was forbidden in 50% of places.
Yeah.
Junior high, I got really in... Late junior high, early high school, got super into Friday the 13th, rented all of them, and my friend and I bought... Like, it was just one of those weird things where the old thing you happened to have just got interested in, some modern thing also just happened to put a guide out of it, and you're like, wow, what serendipity. And it was like... Fangoria put out this magazine that was, here's every kill in every Friday the 13th movie in order, numbered by their name and how they died. So we're like,
I think I've seen that, actually.
We're like, all right, next up is Tommy McBride. He is macheted in the face. And you watch and like, bam. All right, next is Tina Eyes poked out with darts. All right, check. And we watched it all like that. So then that made me go back and play this and be like, wow, what a terrible game.
Yeah. And I don't think it's based on any particular movie because like, who remembers characters from the movies outside of Jason?
Yeah. And, oh, God, the best part of this entire game is so Jason comes on the screen, the music changes, and he attacks you. But if you're on a rowboat, Jason screams across the bottom like he's a jet, like he's a motorboat. And it makes a sound like... And he will, like, just, like, waist up Jason Voorhees screaming through the lake.
When you spend that much time underwater, I think you learn a few things, right?
Yeah,
right.
I guess he did become half fish.
One with the water. Liquidator.
But the composer, I forgot the name, I wrote it down, but the composer also did, like, a bunch of other LJN stuff, like Karate Kid, that game Gotcha the Sport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha the Sport.
But what did strike me is that NFL, the game just called NFL, that title screen music that I was like, this title screen music's really good, and is in the VG Empire Cavalcade of Sports episode, did the music to that. Name is Hirohiko Takayama.
Okay, yeah. And I should say the game... a lot of people say it's developed by Atlas, strangely.
That's what the wiki says.
But actually, it's developed by, what I discovered, a contractor they use called Pac-In Video, who also worked on Harvest Moon, the SNES version, and a lot of other little titles. They were sort of like hired help, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, this whole thing with Jaws as well, it's like, the Japanese game industry is very dependent on contractors and subcontractors, and perhaps even sub-subcontractors. And, like, a lot of stuff that we knew as kids and things were not made by who they said they were.
Yeah. Like, I think in the Jaws case, they weren't even credited on the box or in the game.
Yeah, no credits in these games at all. And like, it's strange to think of that kind of world, but yeah, I mean, and speaking of who made this game, I feel like it's a very Japanese game of this era because it is a weird, like, secrets-based game.
Yeah.
Like, to get kids talking, like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I would just hear, like, discussion about this game. Like, oh, did you get the sweater? Did you get the torch? The pitchfork?
Yeah.
Like, all these hidden items. Like, there's secret caves. There's Jason's mom's head you can fight three times.
Yeah.
Like,
why don't you ask your friends how to play this game on Facebook?
Yeah.
But then, like, Nintendo Power gave this coverage, and I'm like, this weird juxtaposition of here's a magazine that was part of NOA's very active censorship. Buy Friday the 13th, kids.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun for the whole family, and I guess children die.
That opening, when you turn it on, it's just this 8-bit Jason's mask, and then this knife flies from off screen,
it's
and
like, doom, doom, doom.
Yeah. It like stabs him in the eye, which is, I think, the cover. So this may set the time. That's Friday the 13th part 4, the final chapter, which is the cover of Jason's mask with a knife in it.
Yeah,
so
that's
at least that time frame.
Yeah, it was 89.
Referred to as the best Friday the 13th movie?
It's pretty good. I still think...
Do you have a favorite or a first?
For me, the series really becomes really fun to watch with 6 because Kane Hodder is the dude playing Jason.
And that's right.
He is Jason in 6, 7, 8, which is Manhattan, and Jason Goes to Hell. And I don't remember if he played him in Freddy versus Jason or not. He may have a cameo in it, but Kane Hodder, if you watch 1 through 5, you're like,
no,
what?
It's I think 8 or Fred versus Jason. No, X had a new actor where Jason became like 9 feet tall.
Jason Goes to Hell, I'm pretty sure, is still Kane Hodder.
Because
it's like, this dude's really good. When you watch 6, just try watching 6 or 7, because the second he comes on screen, he does all this great emoting and like his shoulders are breathing and like it's just like, this is a different character. Now this character's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Also, very quick, Friday the 13th Part 7, at the end of that movie...
Is that the one with the psychic? Because that's my favorite.
It's a psychic.
Okay,
I like that one a lot. That's a almost actually good movie.
It's like fighting Jason on his turn, sort of.
Yeah.
It was my favorite as a kid because pre-internet and web pornography, it had the most nudity.
Yeah, that's another reason to watch them as kids. But the end of that movie, they blow up a house. And I don't mean like Hollywood blow up a house. It is a house that I swear just had to be filled from basement to ceiling with dynamite. Because it's just like the canonical thing is, oh, there's old newspaper, gasoline. The psychic lady is going to blow Jason up inside this house. She runs out on a deck. And I mean, the camera is low to the ground, pointed up, and the shockwave across the grass is how you can tell they blew up a gigantic 2 or 3 story house on the water, and it's just splinters. Like, it's the size of this explosion. I rewound and watched this thing 100 times.
Yeah,
it might be on Netflix.
I think I remember
that.
That may be why I like it so much.
Huge.
Yeah.
My first was 8, and that's a shame.
It's awful.
Manhattan?
That's Manhattan.
I didn't like that one.
It's awful, but it's so bad that it actually is pretty silly. And
then Jason
fights
the Muppets in the finale.
It's fun.
Yeah. Everybody takes a little bit of Manhattan.
That also disappointing that he dies of electricity.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, God, that scene when that melts off his face at the end.
I remember that was a really cool thing as a kid. How arguing over how Jason could be killed because the movie kept redefining.
Yeah, lightning
defining and redefining.
And brought him back to life. So it's like, what are you going to do?
But every time the writers are all like, I'm not doing that again.
voodoo.
So now it's a new, this time the psychic wave of the girl discovering her powers brought him back to life.
That's right, shit.
7's pretty decent.
I like 7 a lot. But as far as the game goes, it feels a lot like Goonies 2, like that style of game, or like Castlevania 2, where just like all these weird misleading clues.
Yep. Or Dr. Chaos.
Dr. Chaos, another one. Is there like a term like fuck you, Ovania, or something like that? Can we call it that?
Let's coin it right now.
Yeah.
Dr. Chaos, I only remember because of the cover art, and there's this weird like tumor with eyes with a syringe sticking in it. Like, even as a kid, I'm like, that's awful.
So is it fuck you, Ovania? Is that what it is?
Sure.
Or fuck Troy.
Jeremy's not here. We can do what we want.
Yeah. Yeah, and the ending of this game is just like the biggest. It's like the second time you beat Jason, you see him like slumped over, and then his head rises up, and it's like, oh, he's out again. But then when you beat him the third time and the final time, you just see the picture of him with his head slumped over. There's not even any new animation, no final boss fight. It's just like.
And then it says like end. And the title screen.
It's interesting. I just saw the distinction made on the inner... Sorry, go ahead.
It's more like the Man of the Hands of Fate, like the end. You know, you've killed Jason, buddy. He might come
back.
But
it does have a question mark at the end.
It does. It really does, yeah. Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, it was just that somebody made the distinction that this game is about Jason killing the children, which he actually never does in the movies.
That's true.
He should be after the counselors because he was after teenagers.
Yeah, who let him drown. Did anyone watch the remakes, the reboot or whatever?
I haven't. I heard bad things.
I wanted to like him because the whole Freddy versus Jason argument.
That was great.
I really like Jason because he is basically just a zombie that happens to have some level of coherence.
He's a zombie Hulk.
Yeah, zombie Hulk.
Out for zombie revenge.
And I don't know, I liked it. I get why Freddy's more interesting to write. If I was like a writer, I'd be like, yes, I want to write a Friday the Third, Nightmare on Elm
Street. I have all these puns.
But I haven't watched it since it came out, since opening night, but I remember liking Freddy versus Jason.
For me, I associate Friday the 13th with the 80s, just like
big time.
Adult men in tiny shorts, know, like running around in like at summer camp. Sort of like Sleepaway. I love Sleepaway Camp. And it's sort of Friday the 13th ripoff, but it's with some odd twists to it. So like any summer camp movie, I'm like, it's in the 80s, you're going to die.
The one with the woman was the killer, right?
Spoilers? Yes.
Right? Well, what's the...
I think it's
whatever
it's best known for.
Expression is it on spoilers? This has surpassed that.
It's
by
been
20
30
years,
so I think we're cool.
Yeah.
Somebody was like listening to this while they load in a VHS tape.
Oh, come on. I'm the one guy.
But don't watch the sequels. They're kind of crappy. Anything else about Friday the 13th, the game? I mean.
Oh, they released an action figure based on the game sprites recently.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like a Comic-Con exclusive.
Yeah, and it was so popular, they released a Freddy action figure based on his NES.
So what does it look like? Is it those
mostly
like pearl beads or whatever? Or?
It looks a little... It's actually like... It's not pixelated at all. It just keeps the blue tones.
I like the blue. I don't know why. It's so weird to have like a blue monster.
He just feels
like
a janitor in that movie.
He does, yeah.
Or like an auto repair guy that's just like, I'm just trying to track you kids down and yell at you.
You guys all day putting out fires, literally.
it's not a great game.
Not really, but I guess that's our closing question, like Jaws or Friday the 13th, if you should choose one. I find Jaws like a numbing, if sort of zen experience. Yes. I just want to zone out.
Yep.
You're doing the same stuff over and over. It's not really hard.
Yep.
You can stab a shark a few times and walk away feeling satisfied. And
even if you die, it's like you didn't really lose any progress.
No, I mean, you have three lives, and at least they right. die. The weird thing is, it's an RPG even in the sense that they take away half your money when you die. So you lose half of your conch shells. I noticed that last night. It's like they really wanted to make a Jaws RPG. I like to see that play out in modern times.
I think, you know, these two are kind of in the same way that, you know, what brought down Atari's E.T. Is this, like, I don't understand why all these licensed games are like magnets for these sort of high concepts don't go anywhere they're under the gun all the time.
Because the license is so strong, let's do any avant-garde idea we want.
But then it's like, oh, it needs to be done in 3 months.
But then why? What's the pressure for Jaws? Like, that series was completely over.
Yeah.
There's money to be made. Because, like, also, like, LGN, and I'm sure even some people from Acclaim had that sort of toy industry mentality.
Yeah.
Where things need to be
Christmas.
Done.
Christmas!
Yeah.
Christmas!
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why I got Jaws, was because, like, my parents knew, oh, you like sharks, and this Jaws game's $30 at Kmart. It's Christmas. Why not?
And Leonard J. Norman's a name you can trust.
Yes. Right? Yeah. We trust him off the...
He fixed our driveway. He was really nice about it.
Man, he's just a jack of all trades.
He does everything. So let's wrap up.
I hear he'll... damn it, I had...
He got a raccoon out of our garage.
He's going to do some notary stuff on the weekends.
You hung out for a barbecue and left before we had to ask him?
He's an ordained minister, too. Yeah. So if
I
you need
know
to get married.
I'm not wanted.
I will not try to have sex with you.
I know. I'm going completely into Mr.
Now we're into Mr. Show. So let's wrap up.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitch, and everything. As Retronauts, guys, you know how to spell our name. Just type it in. Please go to our blog. We include information about everything we do, including notes as to what kind of music you're going to hear in the episodes or that you've already heard in the episodes, and also links to things that we talked about and links to stuff our guests have done. And speaking of which, let's do contact info. I am Bob Servo on Twitter. If you're listening to this in October, I should still be doing a column for US Gamer. I forgot to mention that in the last episode, so please go to US Gamer and check that out. Ray.
I'm RDBAAA on Twitter. You can look at my video game history magazine Scroll at scroll.vg.
Mm-hmm. Cantista, Chris Cantista on Twitter. I do a bunch of stuff on Lasertime, Lasertime Show on Facebook and Twitter. You can find that stuff. We give away stuff on occasion. And we do podcasts such as Lasertime, Cape Crisis, Video Game Apocalypse. And you can find all those on iTunes or lasertimepodcast.com.
And VG Empire on Twitter and VGEmpire.com for the actual website. It's also on iTunes. And then Brelston on Twitter and everywhere else. Just give me a follow. We just think this is the end of October. We're wrapping up our month-long Final Fantasy episode. Four different Final Fantasy episodes. We recently did Secret of Mana. We did F-Zero GX. We did a lot of stuff. Just check it out. Hyrule Hits Volume 1, where we did half of the Zelda games because there's plenty there. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff, and I like to get it, you know, pretty weird sometimes doing like Lords of Thunder and Turbo Duo stuff and Plock, and just try to mix it up. Do the obvious stuff, but then also, like, of course you're gonna do Streets of Rage at some point, but you also need to balance that with, like, anyone else play Popple Mail? No good.
Lunar anyone?
Because I'm gonna tell you all about it.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys again. These have been two great episodes, and we'll definitely have you back for more. As for everyone else, we'll see you next week with an all new feature length episode. See you then.
Big charade.